You know what? Sometimes.
No, shut up.
You know, don't do the tops and tails at the bottom of the second bottle, but fuck you!
Fuck you!
Can you smoke in here? What?
No. This is the Poofcast. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, the outrageous Scott Brennan, and the punctual Toby Sullivan.
I wasn't even here for the first bottle.
Wow. No excuses.
What's my excuse?
Yeah. We're going to allegedly talk about the Pride March, but we may get distracted by Toby's newfound obsession with lady dicks.
Industry term,
girl
jargon,
dicks.
Jargon. Australia is home to over 20 million people, literally some of whom are poofs. Poofs are a natural part of modern life, but like firearms, if mishandled, can cause irreparable damage and steal your good champagne. This summer, stop, think, be poof aware.
What are you doing tonight, Jono?
Oh, I'm going around to Troy, my gay friend's place. We're going to a French film festival.
French film festival?
Well, he said come around and let's get Amelie.
Stop. Think. Be poof aware. Be poof aware. Leave early or stay next Foley.
Okay. Now, Scott and Toby and Wes, who's not here, and I...
He died.
That is a terrible way to talk about someone who just went to Brunswick. That's all that happens.
That's where Scott lives.
No. Oh, God.
With his barfly friends.
Yeah. And actually, I know, strangely enough, I grew up in Faulkner, and to get to my train station, the train line has to go through the cemetery. Mm.
Hint. That's what's called a hint.
My boyfriend used to work at that cemetery,
yes.
And I grew up in Brunswick.
Oh, my God. Okay, weird.
This is really boring.
Yeah.
Anyway, we, the four of us, the three of us and, you know, the drag queen.
the male impersonator.
went to the Victorian Pride March.
Yes,
which
we did.
Is a march, as they insisted on telling us. No floats allowed.
Not a parade. No. It's a march.
And we were invited to do the commentary on the balcony at the Prince of Wales Hotel, mm-hmm. which we recorded, but sadly, not all the microphones were recorded. So it's basically Toby going, blah, 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 blah. And then obviously he's been interrupted by Scott and I, and then you hear nothing. And then he goes, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
But can I just say, those straight guys who were the techs, I mean, they are inept. They were inept, but fuck, they were hot.
Really hot.
They were so hot.
They weren't actually that hot. They were just the only straight men in the vicinity. Yeah.
And we were really drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, everyone on the balcony thought we were funny when they finally bothered to put a speaker out there so they could hear us.
Yes.
But let us recap some of our favourite moments of the Pride March.
The whole march for me is, and look, let me preface this by saying that...
You're proud.
It was genuinely great. I'm proud of nothing. I'm deeply ashamed of everything I've ever done and everything my people have ever done. In a way, it is great to see such a wonderful panoply of community groups. It's wonderful to see that parade of every, you know, gay people under 5'6" who prefer West Wing to The Wire.
Yes.
You know, like it is great
that
to see
that was a segment. Yeah.
That whoever you are, there is a place for you.
Yeah.
Right. And that is wonderful to be represented. However, I will just say, as a matter of fact, as a statement of recorded fact, there were two lesbian vegan social groups.
So clearly, at some point, there's been a schism. Yeah.
Probably over eggs.
Yeah, probably. But I'm amazed they had the strength to make it up the street.
No, it's because they'd shelved a chickpea at the start. That was giving them energy all the way down.
I'm just saying it was a little bit ridiculous at times.
There were some stupid entrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were some. We did.
And I'm sure they don't feel stupid. I'm sure somewhere there is a lesbian vegan who just doesn't quite fit with all the other lesbian vegans.
Yes. So she needs to be in that other lesbian vegan.
Yes. Right. You've got a choice of groups, people.
So I'm sure it doesn't feel ridiculous to her, but come on, Debbie, you have to admit, right?
Your name's not Debbie. What? You were probably born Debbie, but you've changed it when you were 19 to LaFonda or something.
Sky or something.
You brought her, you LaFonda.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, it is a bit faintly ridiculous to have two lesbian vegan
And but noticeably, they were separated.
Uh-huh.
Like, there was
I can't imagine you cross the beams where lesbian vegans are concerned.
No, but there was, you know, they marched. There was one group, and then there were a couple of other groups, and then the other lesbian vegan group.
That's two entirely separate strains of... Yes. Now, irrelevant righteous fury.
Girls, I don't want to throw the wet blanket of sensible talk over the you two banging on about how ridiculous the separate lesbian groups are.
Mm. But
we know lesbians.
Yes.
And you can't, they're like Japanese fighting fish. You can't have them in the same jar.
It shouldn't come as a surprise.
Or they will punch on.
So you remember the lesbian landslide.
We all remember the lesbian landslide. In fact, I think I even said, because it started with Dykes on Bikes, I was like, you know, being at the end of the parade where we were, that we may not actually get to see them because they would have started fighting off.
Punching on. Yeah.
So I think that's what's going on. The lesbian vegans are the only ones sensible enough to go, no, 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 we don't have the strength to fight.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Let's just separate.
Yeah. We'll just keep apart from each other.
That's right.
We're all the exes of those girls over there.
But it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to fight because I might get blood on my hands. And that's, I don't want to make an animal bleed.
I don't want to make an animal bleed.
Yeah. I also enjoyed the city of, I think it was the city of Moreland.
Oh,
that march.
Yes.
The city of Moreland went to particular trouble to note that they've instituted a anti-homophobia policy at council level. And all council, like desks, like the service desk at the council and the library and
all
stuff.
All their buildings, all their chattels.
All display the rainbow flag at reception.
Great.
So if anyone listening is still worried about homophobia, fixed.
Yeah, it's done.
There's a rainbow flag at Thornbury Library.
Yeah.
So
Thornbury's in the city of Darabin.
Oh, okay, well, don't go to Thornbury.
Yeah.
Coburg.
Is a beautiful island of homosexual tolerance.
Yeah.
Right off Sydney Road there. Beautiful.
It's going to be fine. If you want some woggy furniture and not to be gay bashed.
You need a kebab and a dim sim from the Coburg market.
And some Rococo furniture.
I used to, I lived in Coburg when I was in high school, and that fucking library is awesome. They used to have comic books.
Well, I have to wonder.
Gay comic books?
Gay comic books.
Well, you know, Batman and Robin, a bit sus.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough.
But there was this whole swat, like they put all the local government and like political floats all in a row.
Oh, that's right. So, and you're ragging on all of them equally.
Oh, because they're all full of shit, Adam.
Yeah. I love
like,
that.
As if I give a flying fuck
the
where
Labor
the Moreland
Party.
Library has got a fucking rainbow flag at the front counter.
The Labor
Suck
Party
my dick, Moreland
past.
Library. Put in a back room, Moreland Library, then I might listen. Put in a fucking rainbow flag on the counter. Oh, my God. Like, could you be more patronising?
When the Labor Party came past, my favourite thing that Toby said was, you know, you might want to start stealing stationery now.
And there was the Liberal Party as well.
Yeah, the
Bold,
Liberal Party.
Courageous.
Which, you know, we all kind of went, what are you doing here? Why are you here?
You are not with your people. Oh, you've done a gas lift, Adam.
I fell down.
You fell down.
There was a swarm of earnest politicians capitalising on minority politics.
Well, this is why I kind of, like, I'd prefer, and this might seem weird, I would much prefer Pride March to Mardi Gras. Because at least Pride March is about community groups. That's kind of ostensibly what it's about.
It's grassroots.
Mardi Gras has become so fucking corporatized now that it is just seen as a marketing opportunity.
There was a Google Plus float, which was just a giant screen.
At Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
But you know what? There was commercialization at Pride March too.
There was a bit, but
there
not
were bars
quite
marching
as much.
Oh, with
D&M's.
The drag queens in the boot of a hatchback. D&M doll had two drag queens standing up in the boot of a barina.
Hanging on for fucking dear life. Because I realised they were on heels too. In the boot of a moving car. It was like fucking Circus Oz. It was just hanging on for dear life. That was hilarious.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
It was fantastic.
And if you think about the clientele at D&M's, a lot of them probably actually travel to D&M's curled up in the booth.
Yeah,
the
exactly. Booth. Yeah.
That was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. Because you're not allowed to have a float because it's a march.
Yeah.
It's a march.
So you can have a barina.
You're allowed to drive a barina with drag queens standing in the booth.
It is kind of, it's an interesting mismatch, isn't it? Because like Mardi Gras is like what the world imagines gayness is like. All fabulous, you know, tit boys in glitter marching with lifesavers and, you know, bumming each other off and in a ute.
And dancing to Khan.
And Pride is like the ugly reality, which is that we're all just fucking ugly humans that have our own unpleasant pursuits, whether it's going to Moreland Library
or veganism
or veganism or whatever. There are other dimensions apart from just our gayness, which in turn have been revealed to be ultimately tedious.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have some eye candy.
Yeah.
There was eye candy. Because the Manhunt sent some people.
Sent a few people.
They sent a few pectorals.
Do you think there were two lesbian vegan groups because one of them don't go down on each other because it's too much like eating bacon?
Oh, my God. And I thought my joke about the lipstick lesbians was offensive.
If it was like eating bacon, I would be a lesbian.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
I don't think it is.
Bang up for bacon.
I love a bit of it. I don't think it's that crispy. I don't know. Maybe some of the older ladies. Oh, edit. Edit point. Edit
point.
Edit
that one out.
Like maybe Judy Connelly. Edit. Edit.
Judy Connelly's probably got crackling.
God, Judy Prosciutto Canelli.
Oh, Pancetta Pants herself.
Oh my god. Pancetta Pants. Wow. I just love the way that we
I didn't think we could be more homophobic to lesbians, but apparently we can.
Apparently. We started talking about Pride March because it's all about inclusion and community, and we're just lesbian bad.
As I pointed out on the day, we are equal in our disdain for every single subset of being gay.
We did, some lesbians did actually leave.
I think they left when I said, are lipstick lesbians the boy lesbians because they lip. Lipstick comes out when they have sex with
a and they went, that's it, I'm out, that's it, I've got to go, I'm getting tired.
Or
let's
it was
tofu.
When a woman with a kelpie and I said, why is that lesbian wearing a collar?
Oh, yes. I think that, we did upset some people, but, you know, but there's no point in doing it if we don't.
No.
But look, it was a great day.
It was an awesome day.
It was a great day, and despite our niggardly nitpicking here.
The worst thing was that we discovered possibly the most offensive insult we've ever come up with, which was every time we saw someone who was maybe slightly annoying, we would say, oh, are they transitioning into a cunt?
I've forgotten all about transitioning.
Yeah, transitioning.
Because there were quite a number of transgender kind of entries.
Yes.
And we were not sure who was transitioning into what.
Into being tedious. Or
at what point they were.
Yes, an odious cunt, yes. Yeah.
Transitioning, which became the worst insult.
I'm really into transitioning at the moment.
Are you transitioning?
Through a convoluted course of events, I've been watching a lot of YouTube blogs from transsexual men.
Oh, right. Like female to male or male
yes,
to female?
Yes. Female to male. Yes. Right. I'm becoming aware, so I'd be careful with my terminology. Transsexual men, people who are born female but becoming
have decided
men.
To become man.
I was looking for some Nicki Minaj on Idol clips, and Google has a cruel sense of humour. And I've been watching a lot of blogs from people transitioning, and it's actually really interesting.
Mm. I find it fascinating because you were telling me from watching these that the women who become men don't necessarily want to be rid of their vaginas.
Yes.
No, there's a whole thing about top surgery and bottom surgery.
Mm.
Wow.
Is what they call it. So,
you've been watching that Chaz Bono show. That's
just all of that. All of that. But, I mean, obviously in this day and age, a lot of people document their transition, their journey.
People document going to the fucking shops for Christ's sake.
Yeah, fucking hell. But, so a lot of people, and they'll say, oh, I've had top surgery. People tend to get top surgery done, which is you get your tits removed. But they don't.
Good use of the word tits there, by the way.
I'm really PC. But a lot of men don't have bottom surgery, and they don't have, because that's really, it's quite difficult to do.
Well, I imagine, at least with male to female, when you become a woman, you are basically placing all of the nerve endings.
Yes.
Inside.
Like
inside.
Yes.
I think it's much more difficult to
You split it like a banana split and you fold it up
wow.
in.
But what
and
is
it becomes your vajinji.
What is really interesting about it, though, when people talk about it, is not so much like the surgical level of difficulty. Mm. It's more about, well, no one's going to see my bottom.
No.
Apart from my partner and me, and I can just sort of shut my eyes and pretend that bit's not happening.
Mm.
And so it's more about I'm able to live in the world as a man.
Yes, yes.
So I can be like a – if you want to talk about gender identity and how it's constructed culturally, if I don't have boobs, then I'm culturally a man.
Yeah.
You know what these transgendered men are not actually understanding is how much we are penises with brains attached.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes.
That is also true.
That the impulse to put your cock in something. Be
powerful,
it,
very
be
powerful.
It another man, a lady, or a pudding.
Wall socket.
Yeah.
is kind of 85% of what we are.
Yeah.
We're like 70% water and 85% putting our dick into things.
But seriously, it is. It's
yeah, it's true.
And if you don't want to have something to stick in things, then like I understand being a bottom. Which, you know, our friend Scott is.
Hello.
The Guatemalan sinkhole.
Oh, I think they want to do it. Like, if it was free and painless, they would do it.
Yeah.
But the prospect of paying, like, 60 grand and living through, like, 2 years of incredibly painful surgery.
You could always just wear a strap-on that goes all the way in.
Well, I guess.
A double-ended strap-on.
There is also that thing that if you're a transsexual, then the idea of gender is more than just your genitalia.
Yes, if you've gone through that
really,
I understand that for a man turning into a woman, because women are only like 36% obsessed with their vaginas.
Mm.
Like they're 85% obsessed with their breasts. But men are 86% obsessed with sticking their cock in things.
Yeah.
Like really, realistically, even us who talk quite intelligently about having sex and can turn it into the most boring thing in the world. It doesn't put us off wanting to stick out.
Do you know what they do obsess about over, a lot of these transsexual men, is STP.
Oh.
Standing to pee.
Oh, wow.
This becomes,
like Angela Bishop.
This becomes a huge deal. And there is apparently, like, this whole marketplace of products for STP.
Oh, really?
And you can make your own STP device.
Right.
Wow. Or you can buy an expensive one.
But also,
from the shops.
If you're a transsexual, like a female to male transsexual who is on hormones.
Yes.
Like everything kind of changes slightly down.
Yeah, there's one guy I was watching, he said his feet grew by like 2 shoe sizes.
Wow.
On hormones. Yeah.
Really?
Which is apparently not meant to happen, but it did.
No, my feet have grown by 2 shoe sizes, like in the last 10 years.
Really?
Weirdly. Yeah.
Are they
are
they like ears?
I used to be like a 10/11, if depending on the shoe.
But hormones
now
aren't meant
like
to do
13.
That.
Yeah, that's
hormones
weird.
Aren't meant to change the size of your bones, but apparently they have.
Wow.
But I, you know, when my feet got bigger, and this might be something weirdly related, was when I started to embrace my masculinity.
Oh, it could be like a psycho.
I think it's like
somatic
a major pituitary gland thing.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I was always so busy being really feminine and girly and, you know. And then I just one day went, oh, my God, I'm a fat man with body hair. What am I doing? Like, what am I actually doing, pretending to be something
you
else?
You willed your feet to be bigger.
No. It wasn't like that wasn't, you know, it's a
yeah, it was a byproduct.
Side effect. Yeah. Like, my feet are bigger now, and I wonder if that's because I've gone, no, I've got to stop thinking that I'm feminine because I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Just because occasionally I get excited about Mariah Carey.
But you know what? Isn't that interesting,
See,
though?
That's not feminine. That's awful.
But maybe these men have gone through the same process. Maybe they've just gone, do you know what? I'm not a woman. I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm a man without a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's triggered. Like, it's a really, once you start thinking about it, I've always kind of thought, to be honest, this whole transgender thing, right. You were born a man in a woman's body. Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Sure you were. But once you start hearing the stories and like considering these ideas, you start to think, oh, yeah, okay. I start to understand how difficult it is.
And also, no one's going to transition from one gender to another on a whim.
No.
It's really like
it's actually a pretty big deal.
I did a lot of research about it when I was doing When I was doing my certificate for in professional writing and editing at RMIT, in my short story class, we got set an assignment, which was, you know, Angela Carter, who wrote Company of Wolves really dark fairy tales to write in the style of.
Yep.
And so I chose The Little Mermaid, being my favourite movie.
Right.
This is before you embraced your masculinity, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly. When all my short story titles were lyrics from Mariah Carey songs.
wow.
But I wrote a story, and so I started doing, you know, when you write stuff, you do research because you want to know stuff. And this is before the internet, so I took it to the fucking library.
Oh, how tedious.
But I kind of started thinking about the reality of The Little Mermaid and what it was that she went through because she was desperate to become human.
To feel like something that you were not.
Yeah, she identified as human, even though she had a fish tail.
Yeah, right.
And so I kind of put in the perspective of a man becoming a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in the same, you know, one gender becoming another. And then started to think about the, you know, how it would maybe start as kind of like a desire for women.
Mm-hmm.
And then transmogrify into an obsession with femininity and then become identification with being and just that whole, you know, you just see a whole life change as you become something that you go, oh, I thought this was just something I was interested in and now it is something I am.
Mm. Yeah. Once you take it seriously and like accept the kind of fundamental precepts, it blows your mind to think about it. It really does. And just like things you don't even consider, like you think, oh, yeah, trannies, ha-ha. But you don't even consider things like there's this whole market for things called packers, which are like plastic penises that you wear in your underwear.
Oh, my God, I think I went out with one of those.
I think you are one of them. So your jeans sit right?
Right.
So you got like a bulge?
Of course,
because you wear man jeans.
You wear man jeans and, you know, like it's got to sit right.
Where do you buy these? Because I might need one.
But just like
just go to the Peel at 6 a.m. You can pick them up off the floor.
Oh, matron.
But imagine having to choose your packer. Like, nah, it's too big. I'm not, you know. Oh, no, too small.
Who would ever say that? There is no baby bear.
And then if you're really rich, if you're a rich transsexual gentleman, you can get a packer that also has like a little tube in it so you can STP with your packer.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So you attach your packer to your mort.
Oh my God.
And then you can stand at the
Are
urinal.
These medical terms?
And piss it. Yes.
Yes.
Packer. I've studied extensively on YouTube.
Yeah.
And and you get to piss out of your packer.
And
packer piss.
Out of your man thing.
There you go.
It's just crazy. You think you can go to the doctor, take some pills, bam, you're a woman. No, there's no, lots of other
no,
things
I know.
To
it's
deal
forever.
With.
It's like a big deal.
It's and not just for Christmas.
I remember
just
once.
Just weird, trivial things.
When
you know?
I worked at the exchange, which had a lot of, you know, drag queens and stuff, and Terry Tinsel was backstage, and she had undergone reassignment.
Yes.
Right.
And she was, like myself at the time, a busboy.
Right.
Me and a tranny picking up glasses.
Great. Right.
And she, like, we were backstage, she goes, oh, I just got a wax. It's awesome. And she got the system and she goes, feel that. Feel how smooth that is. And he goes, I'm worried that I'm touching your lady bits. And she goes, no, no, love, that's just my reassigned scrotum.
Oh. Wow.
Santa Maria.
Wow.
The thought of a reassigned scrotum. It sounds like you've just given it another job.
Yeah.
I know. It sounds like you've been transferred from accounts to HR.
Yeah.
My scrotum's been reassigned to Belgrave.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, how stressing.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, it was really interesting. So I've got a newfound respect/fascination with
tranny
men.
With are we allowed to call them trannies?
I don't know. We've already had this.
They're
discussion.
On YouTube. They can't hear me.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. Well,
what were we talking about?
We were talking about the Pride March.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then we got caught up.
And now we're pissing out of our STP packer. I'm transitioning.
That's what happens in this podcast.
The conversation transitioned from Pride.
Yes. Indeed.
We transitioned from sober to drunk throughout the entire conversation.
I think that's pretty fair.
Yep. Oh, my God, that was the Poofcast.
It was, wasn't it?
Was that we're going to put something in the middle to fix it, right? That's just not going to be it.
Yeah, there was that Poof-aware in the middle.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, was there? Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I shouldn't do the bottoms at the bottom of the bottom in second.
Wow.
Not for the first or last time, listeners, do I say, why are you listening to this?
Yeah.
There are so many podcasts out there that are better than this.
Yeah, we should. The only way that that sentence could have ended better is if I actually fell off my chair.
Yeah, yes.
And started cackling on the floor like Dudley Moore and Arthur.
We need to have a little subtitle on our logo, like Talking Puffy, you've only got yourself to blame.
Why are you doing this? Why? Stop it. Stop it.
Because young people want to grow up to be this drunk.
It's terrible. It's called unsubscribe. It's one button. It's all it takes is unsubscribe.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, we're ashamed.
If you want to hear us more drunk, please pay us money. We need money.
We need money. We're young and we need the money.
Yeah. We need the money.
Oh, God.
We may be back next week.
Hope not.
If I can remember how to do Apple V on this fucking
thing. Oh, God.
Next record's in March. Everyone's busy in March. Might not happen for a while.
Yeah.
Might be a best of. Yeah. Might do a best of. Let's do a best of.
You're obsessed with doing a best of.
Well, just because I don't have to do this again.
Yeah.
The more best ofs we do, the less of this I have to do.
Can we do one where we're stuck in a basement for some reason and we're reminiscing and just play old tapes?
Like the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. Can't we just get like Jaspers and Velvo just to do it all and just pretend to be us?
No, we saw that. Remember, we went to that live show.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They had even less jokes than us. I didn't think it was possible. That is like someone who grew up in the Sahara going to another desert and going, this place is really dry. Yeah.
The only performer who has less jokes than us is someone addressing the United Nations. Like, it's kind of, you know, not actually doing stand-up, just making a speech.
No, but we went to Twunks, which was a great show.
I was in it.
And there were heaps of jokes, none of which came from the featured cast. Which is fine. I still got my money's worth. It was a great show. You should go really and see all of them in the comedy
festival. My housemate went and saw it and made out with a 25-year-old.
During the show?
Oh, no, afterwards.
I saw your housemate.
Yeah, he was totally making out with a 25-year-old. Save it. I just love the way that you said we're peaking, and when we listen to this back, it's just going to be like 40 minutes of us going.
We're not peaking, we're troughing.
Yeah. Talk poofy to me.